Dumber Than Hot Wings Trivia.
What is the worst living conditions you've had? The story starts with Purdue University, where they had their biggest incoming freshman class ever. 10,000 freshman students going onto campus. Now, that's a
wow.
It's a big university anyway.
Well, yeah.
But that's a big freshman class coming in.
Yeah, that's a lot of people on campus at once, yeah.
They don't have enough dorms, which to
that's
me
weird.
Means you probably shouldn't have said yes to that many people.
Yeah, I thought there were restrictions on that. Like you had to get in and they had a certain amount of people, a certain availability.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that is a university with fairly high academic standards.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very prominent engineering school amongst other things.
But nonetheless, they welcomed them in. And so once they filled the regular dorms, they basically took other rooms that were built for other things and turned them into barracks and made cubicles.
Yeah.
So, but the cubicles don't have cubicle walls. It's like the armoires that you would get in a in a dorm room where it opens up and it's basically a closet.
I think, it looks like they converted maybe a library and just used all the bookshelves as temporary walls.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like whatever empty room you'd have had a normal cubicles like a call center in, and they've made little dorm nooks.
So do you think they still get charged the same?
Yes.
They can't. If they do, they're getting robbed.
I bet they do.
And so, like, just the idea that, it can be a big enough adjustment anyway as a freshman all of a sudden to have roommates and in the dorm and different schedules and lifestyles and everything else. But if you're in a room with 30 people, it looks like orange is the new black when the in the video when someone's walking through there. And so is there a lights out from the big fluorescence overhead, and then maybe you have a little lamp or whatever?
There must be.
The noise? The porking? Oh, my God.
That would be... I don't think anyone's porking in the
dormitory.
A bunch of college freshmen?
They will. Somebody will. There will at least be, like, two people. Just enough to make everyone go, oh, God. The rest of us can find somewhere else to do it. Why do you have to do it here?
Wow.
It's really bad, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be pissed.
All right, so people are going to call in with their difficult work conditions. Or their living conditions. This one, people in the military are going to be, or that have been in the military, are probably going to go pretty far out in front. We'll start with this one.
Oh, more than likely, yeah.
This text from Northeast Pennsylvania. I was on the USS Harry S. Truman, a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier. My sleeping bunk was on a 2-inch thick mattress stacked 3 high with 7 other units attached together. So if someone was having a circus with their own genitalia, no one could sleep. The whole place shook.
That sounds like jail.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, except less private.
Yeah.
That is, that's not fun. Pretty bad.
No.
Wow.
I just assume everything is metal. When you're on an aircraft carrier,
your
pillows are metal.
Mm-hmm. Like you could hear it sploosh onto the ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Is what I imagine.
And probably the ceiling first, because there's not that, the spacing there isn't very great.
This is Steven in Grand Rapids. What is the worst living conditions you had?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So back in 2005, we were just coming back from a deployment to Iraq, and I was stationed in Hawaii. They didn't have anywhere for us to go when we got back, and so they uncondemned buildings that were built in the 60s to put us in them, and there were holes in the walls and there was mold all over, and they said, okay guys, here you go, we'll get you out of here as soon as we can.
Wow, that's really cool of them.
Oh my gosh. So I'm sure there was for a very short period of time you thought,
kick ass,
we're going to get to go to Hawaii. And then that's what you end up with.
Uncondemning is not a thing, by the way.
It's not.
That's not.
Once something's condemned,
the next step is it's demolished.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
called ignoring condemnation.
Yeah. This building was kind of uncondemned.
Actually, yeah.
We were in it the whole time.
We only spent 3 months in it, so it wasn't that long.
So do you think it's pretty cool that the military built like a really expensive gas station on the top of a mountain in Afghanistan and then put you in a condemned building that was uncondemned but still condemned? Mm-hmm. There's no money, basically.
It's
to go around.
It was very hard to sit in your building and then look across the street and see the brand new buildings that had just been completed and wonder why, you know, we get to sit in 40, 50 year old buildings.
I would imagine. Mud. I just think about how we felt at work when we were going through that, and you lived there, and that's way worse.
It is.
I can't imagine how frustrating that would be.
No.
Because we were pretty pissed all the time.
Yeah, and we could see new buildings where we were, too.
We could see the new building that the rest of our teammates moved into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those deserters.
Yeah. Well, my commanding officer at the time said, well, you guys are in Hawaii, so it's not that bad.
I guess I just sleep outside.
I guess it's better than being in a building that's condemned in Sarajevo.
Yeah, or back in Baghdad.
But. Nevertheless, still not the best.
Steven, thank you.
Yeah, how glad.
Yeah, that just allows in. That just allows in all the weird bugs that probably live there.
No kidding. This one, I lived in a barn that was not fully finished in the loft part that was finally closed in and finished like an apartment. The first morning I woke up and I was covered in about 25 mosquito bites on one arm. Then I stopped counting.
Oh, that's miserable.
Living in a barn.
That sounds good, right? Like if somebody told you I'm going to put
it doesn't.
What sounds good about living in a barn?
I don't want to live in a barn.
Okay, if I told you somebody was going to remodel a barn so you could live there, my picture is something that you'd see on Chip and Joanna. Yeah.
And it's going to
be. Oh yeah. They're going to host wedding receptions under you and everything. It's going to be super fun.
Where some farmer nails a canvas to one of the rafters and says, you live behind that.
I mean,
it could be good, but that my first thought isn't that that's what it's going to be.
My first
thought is that I'm sleeping on hay in a loft.
Like, I mean, I wouldn't want to live in my pole barn, and that's metal and insulated. Mm-mm. And reasonably clean. Like, animals don't go in and out of it. I definitely would not want to live in it.
It's got to be home. You have to see cameras and a bus in front of it before I think, like, oh, they're going to move it and this is going to be worth living in.
Some spaz named Ty needs to yell in your face for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
That's it. It's okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm not going in.
The guy that wrote from the Harry S. Truman, the aircraft carrier, we talked about how narrow it was. He said they called them coffin racks because you referenced the how small it was. He said three walls with a curtain on the front. My shoulder would touch the top of my rack. You literally couldn't roll over.
So if you tried to roll,
Is making me claustrophobic just thinking about it.
So you've got, like, I'm guessing in that case, about 18 to 24 inches between the two bunks.
Oh.
Ah, man.
I appreciate the service of all the people who are writing in when I see how you just had to sleep when you weren't deployed
for
battle. Not that I ever doubted it. Jesse in Wisconsin. Jesse, what was your situation? Similar from the military.
So I was going to Fort Sill, Oklahoma for AIT, which is essentially the thing that you go to learn your job in the military.
Okay.
And when they dropped us off on the bus, they dropped us off at basically an interim barracks where people go to before they get sent to the proper place that they go to get learned, to learn their stuff. So this place was, if anyone is in the military, they know the smell that the cleaners that we are forced to use. It's not a good cleaning smell. It's one of the most intoxicatingly disgusting cleaner smells.
Okay.
And that's all this building reeked of. And everyone who's been in will know what I'm talking about. And because they force you to clean. When you get there, you got to clean your room. And it just stinks like that.
Oh.
But the thing is that it doesn't work very well because there's still just a layer of dust everywhere. There were dried up cockroaches in corners where you would dust up under your bed, and there were just dried something. You don't know what it was, and you didn't question it.
Right. Oh,
wait, and everyone who stayed there had to clean it?
Yeah.
Like every time?
It's pretty much whenever you go anywhere new in the military, especially if you're brand new, this was AIT, so they make you clean. That's just a thing.
Right.
Because whenever you go anywhere, you got to clean. So
did they have another crew come in and make it extra gross for the next bunch of soldiers coming in?
I got sent out to my the actual nice barracks that I stayed in for 6 weeks for my AIT. I was 13 Mike, rocket artillery. And I was luckily had a very short AFT.
Can't say that, man.
You can't say that, even though.
I doubt. I'm certain what you just said is the truth.
Yes, I'm sure it was an S barracks.
You can only say that if it's in a commercial for Kmart where you ship your pants.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, exactly. We know what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. I wonder why.
It's terrible.
Why not just leave it there?
Okay. Fair enough.
No.
Oh no, what Joe wasn't. Joe wasn't condemning you, but
no,
Jesse,
I wasn't
we got to move on.
You.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I just meant if it's just filthy all the time and the cleaning doesn't work.
Right.
I mean, either
let's just have it be dirty.
Yeah,
but they want to do it to build discipline,
of course.
Kelly, you said your dad, who is in the military for many many years, sent a text about one of the places he lived.
Yep, he said my dad's a military man, 22 years, and he flew all kinds of military aircrafts. He said his worst living condition was my first deployment to Honduras in the summer of 1986. We lived just off of a runway, which, you know, that's nice and pleasant and quiet.
That's pretty fun. That's pretty fun. I lived close to an airport at some point.
Yep. He said they were living in hooches that were wood halfway up and then screen after that with a metal roof. Now, mind you, this is Honduras.
It's a jungle
atmosphere.
What you just described is what in old movies they would put people who are being jerks in the military in to punish them. Like, oh, put them in the hole.
Oh, yeah. And he said there was no air conditioning. And obviously, in a hot climate, it was dusty. There were no toilets that flushed. They had two-seater outhouses with a sawed-off 55-gallon drum as their toilet. The beds were cots, but they did have mosquito nets, which was luxurious, okay, I'm sure, in those conditions.
Yes.
And in their particular hooch he was in, it was right next to the hot refuel site for the helicopters. So helicopters would hover right next to their hooch all day into the night. And Air Force people on the other side of the runway had air-conditioned quarters, flushable toilets, and he said that they envied them the entire time.
Man.
I don't understand how, like, I'm surprised. And by the way, for the people that are in the military and have experienced this, and it seems like everyone who was in the military experienced this, and it's just another reason we say thank you, but there are a lot of people that weren't in the military like us who are writing in going, this is outrageous. Why did they have such terrible conditions, especially when they're not in a hot zone?
Because they're not contractors.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
This text, when you're in the military, wherever you go, they make it clean. They make you clean it when you show up. And it's always dirty, and it's always dirty knowing someone was there before that.
Mm-hmm. I guess then it gives you free rein to make it disgusting in your own personal way before you leave.
I don't know how your dad would have gotten a moment's rest during that time.
I don't either. I just assume in that kind of climate, when it's hot, you're working all day, that you just pass out. But he loved
it. Just becomes noise, like background noise.
Yeah. At some point, you would hope you just get used to it.
Do you think there were times during your adolescence that he wished he was back there?
Absolutely. Three kids under. We were all a year apart. We were probably all screaming and S-ing ourselves at the same time. He's probably, I'd give anything to be sitting on top of that 55-gallon bucket.
In fact,
wish I was in Honduras getting some peace.
Yeah, I want to be dusty and sweaty.
Give me a hailstorm on the tin roof while you're at it. This text, per Kelly Cheese's father, former U.S. Air Force, can concur, RAC was often too cold.
Oh, come on.
This text.
That's why you go to officer school.
Any deployment port-a-john is a crime scene. Terrible. Never gets dumped.
Oh, gross. Man. I just imagine, like, porta-potties are bad enough, but a 55-gallon bucket.
Which was probably his responsibility or their responsibility to empty.
Oh, God, I have no idea. Man. My fear of falling in, though, would be so real.
But, yeah, falling in.
I mean, I'm sure it's not, like, you know, massive, but I just imagine this huge opening that you just kind of all sit around and S at the same time. It makes no sense, and I know that's not right, but that's just all I'm picturing.
Yeah,
But large man jungle poops, though, have to be the worst.
Yeah, especially after flying all day. It's been rattling around.
Sounds like a weird brand of marijuana. Large man jungle poops. Oh, it's so smooth and nutty. All right, Myra joins us. Now, this might be the first one that's not former military.
Okay.
But this is pretty bleak. Myra, what was your living conditions? By the way, the kids at Purdue should be listening to this segment and be like, yeah, I don't know, it's not that bad.
Yeah, they have AC at least.
Myra, what was your situation?
This was in Alaska. So just so you guys are aware, you can live in a dry cabin there, and it's completely legal. You not condemned or anything like that, right?
Like a dry cabin, meaning, does that mean no running water?
No water, no nothing, right. Okay. And they're not condemned because that's a lot of how the natives live and everything.
Sure.
Anyway, so I was newly married, like maybe 18, 19 years old, had to move in with my ex-husband's family, okay? Once upon a time, this was a house that actually had running water. So it's got a toilet, it's got a tub, it's got two bedrooms, living room, kitchen and dining room, and a loft area for sleeping.
Sounds great.
It had not had running water in over 10 years.
That wouldn't be my favorite.
They did not take care of it at all. I mean, old dishes from, you don't know, God, who knows when, dirty, piled up onto the cabinets. The carpets were absolutely terrible. It was so packed that literally there was like just a small little walkway to be able to get into the dining room area where they had their computer. You couldn't access the kitchen at all. Little hallway to go into the two rooms and the bathroom. Okay. The room that I had to sleep in was literally like one wall away from the bathroom, and they let their cats have the run of the mill of that bedroom. So it smelled like
it sounds like a bona fide hoarder's home.
It does.
Yeah, classic. Yeah, classic hoarder.
I'm surprised you didn't end up staying in that relationship. It sounds like it was was a really fruitful one.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
The bathroom in there that you had to stay in, they literally had us use the bathroom and release our, you know, needs in a 5-gallon Home Depot bucket with a trash bag lining it. And then they would take those bags, tie them up, and put them in the bathtub.
My God, that's one of the...
I don't care for that.
They say it's great for your skin.
Wait, I thought... that was bad when I thought you'd have to carry the bucket outside and dump it into the creek.
That's what I assumed, too. I figured you're like feeding salmon. But dang. That's so gross. Poop in a bag in a Homer bucket and then just put it in the tub.
But... to that point, those Homer buckets are just so handy.
They really are. There's almost nothing bucket, they can't do.
What can't a 5-gallon bucket do?
And they do make toilet seats for them.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, for camping. For camping. Yeah. Yeah, you can buy a seat for them.
I don't even go camping, nor do I want to, but I'm going to have to get one of those.
I would rather do that than poop at like in the head that you see in basic training camps and movies, or that my dad described to me, where you're like staring at another dude. And there's another dude next to you, and also 30 other guys.
I would totally rather do that than have to go in the outhouse that I was that I walked into just to pee when I was at like the national park, the Sleeping Bear Dunes.
Oh, pits are the worst.
Oh my God! I went in there and I go, "Hey guys, hold up, just one second. I gotta pee real quick." And I went in there, and I mean, it was so bad. I just kept thinking how mortified I would be if one of my kids had to go to the bathroom in there. I go, oh my God, I would have said, go sit on the poison ivy over there.
A lot of people, by the way, pointing out that in the military, you don't empty those buckets like Kelly's dad was in. You burn them dumping fuel oil in there, and then someone has to stir it while it burns so it will keep getting oxygen.
Yeah.
My dad did that back when he was in the... in the army.
I was
going
to say, there's a lot of soldiers who are trying to get like medical treatment from burning poop in Iraq and other places. I'm certain, but I do remember reading that.
Yeah, it can't be good for your eyes.
Probably not.
Probably not your lungs either.
Mm-hmm. Probably not.
Idiots get access to the podcast, segment 17, and watch the webcams. You can be an idiot too. Sign up at freebeerandhotwings.com.